The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
One, two, three, four.
It's the start of something beautiful. A small acquaintance has blossomed. It's ripened into a precious friendship. It feels like life. It's better with you. My life. It's better with you. This is true. It's better with two. My life. It's better with you.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to my brother, me, and advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
What's up, Trav Nation? It's me, your middlest brother, Travis Vroom Vroom McElroy.
Start your engines, baby. It's me, Griffin McElroy, built Ford Tough. Start your engines. Time to race.
Hey, speaking of car stuff.
Okay.
Beauty blog it. That's what's inside of a garage door opener.
Justin's been so cool lately. Travis, are you getting these Mr. Robot vibes from this dude?
Yeah, what? Justin's been biohacking.
Justin's been biohacking. He put a garage door opener under some subcutaneous folds.
I had this installed, actually.
Yeah.
This is an implant.
And that's
to
fucking
open
cool.
And close your garage.
Yeah.
No, it open and closes my mouth.
You didn't need that.
Tell me about some of your other sort of like remote control bio mods that you've got going on.
My remote control bio mods. Well, I had the icons put in so they can pop out whenever I see a beautiful lady and it says Aruga.
Nice.
And I had the trumpet mouth put in.
Yeah.
So how much did that cost you?
What?
How much did it cost? Well,
he did it himself. That's what.
I'll tell you the truth, Travis. $300 a dame. Every time a dame strolls by,
it's per dame.
Because it's a CO2 cartridge.
Oh, you got to reload it.
It's like airbags.
It launches pistons from his
eyes. Do you need to get your eyes reset back in every time?
Well, do you remember Dad's friend Lee that used to work at Pearl Vision at the Charleston Town Center?
He did.
He just puts them back in for me like a mob doctor.
He did.
I just go to his house and he just scoots them back in for $38 and I have to help him reprogram his security.
He did he does my procedures where it makes my jaw fall all the way down to the floor and my tongue unrolls like a rug anytime I see a babe.
Yeah.
And he focuses, I guess, only on babe spotting.
No, he helps me. If someone offers me a bunch of money, my eyes roll around like a slot machine and then comes up $$$. He'll reset that back to where I can see again.
That's cool.
But that wasn't a biomod. That was a tattoo of a $$ I got on the back of my eyballs. And then I trained really hard to be able to
spin around when you see money.
This ink fiend has had so many jobs done. He's more tuned than man.
Yeah.
And then it's like you've gotten so many things. So you've got the big flat hand, mm-hmm. like somebody just drove over it with a steamroller.
Do you remember, Trav, when we had to stage that intervention because of how big an ink fiend Justin had become and was becoming more tuned than man?
And it was problematic because during the intervention, he walked over to the sandwich table and he stacked them all up into one big sandwich and then opened his jaw all the way and ate the sandwich in one bite while we were reading the letters about how his toon man behavior
and
was
his
affecting
cheeks
us.
Stuck out and made the shape of a sandwich. I remember that. And I think that's probably, and he started crying then. I think that's when he realized he had taken things too far.
Yeah.
There's a code.
And he left the toothpick in.
Yeah.
If you look at a resistor, there's colored bands around it that tell you what kind of resistor it is. And if you understand the code, you can know what kind of resistor you're looking at.
I'm resisting this right now, Justin.
What?
I'm resisting this right now.
You should open up to it because I think it's cool that Justin's learning about the secrets of how the world works.
Well, where are we at on this? Because you were just saying intervention and now you're like, I actually like this and it's cool. Where are we at?
I feel like sometimes Griffin just says whatever he thinks is funniest.
That's true, but I left the cartoon analogy behind. I love having techno Justin.
We all love techno Justin.
Well, no, it doesn't sound like it. You just said you're resisting techno Justin. I'm fully embracing him, and I'm saying hack it, mod it, buy it, fix it, chop it, screw it. now.
Just like Griffin only says things when they're funny, I say things to make people like me, and I thought Griffin was going to agree with me, and then he didn't. So I'll tell my real truth.
That must have been really, 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 really hard. That must have been really tough, and I'm proud of you for getting through it.
It was. Thank you so much.
I only speak the truth. That's my thing as a brother, and I'll tell you, I'm in hour 7 of Lake Washington Technical College's ELEC 102 course.
Yeah.
Presented by Professor Joe, and it is, I am learning so much, Travis, and I will say also, Sydney is learning so much.
Oh, wow.
And she's loving that, because I have so many opportunities in our day-to-day life to relate to her things that I, like, she'll say, will you hand me a battery? And I'll say, oh, you know what, actually, that AA is not a battery. It's actually a cell, which would be a battery would be a group, and then she leaves.
Oh. She's gone. Yeah.
Well, probably because, house or wherever. Yeah. You know, I think maybe Dr. Sidney McRoy is afraid of having any practical knowledge.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
That's the problem. It's all flights of flibberty gibbets with her.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, she's just not the grounded sort like me.
I'm just glad that here, 764 episodes in, we've finally laid out the rules of the riddle, where Griffin's the brother who always says something funny, I'm the brother who always says something to people, make people like them, and Justin always speaks the truth. Right. Now you get to ask us one question to see if you can move on
through
the dungeon.
One of us has the gems.
One of us is immaculate in his word, and it's me. So,
and I'll give you a gem if you want. Do you want a gem? Would that make you happy?
He says that, but can you even? I don't even know, man.
They want you to not know how to fix your own electronics. This is what I'm saying. They want you to not know how to fix it.
Yeah.
But if you get in there in the guts, unplug it. You know.
Yeah. Sure.
Wait, I'm writing this down. Hold on.
Unplug it. Write that down.
Okay.
Yeah. Ass. And then find new brother who's more tolerant of your hijinks.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then get in there and get in the guts and fix it yourself.
Have you had a
fix it yourself?
Have you had a shaking humility moment yet? Because I got into modifying like game consoles, old game consoles, mostly as a flibberty gibbet during COVID, a COVID flibberty gibbet. And then one time, my lamp on my bedside table started to flicker, and Rachel's like, that's been doing that a lot lately. I don't know what's going on. We might need to replace it. And I was like, I'll just fix it. And then she was like, that probably won't happen. I was like, don't worry about it. And then I took the wire out of it and I was like, oh, I don't know. This isn't a Game Boy. Fuck. Where's the motherboard? It's a lamp. Fuck. Okay. Yeah.
That like, happened to me because I took like,
don't
a lot
want
of black
you to fix it.
I took a lot of blacksmithing classes during COVID. And then I was out on the street walking with my wife with a parasol when a horse threw a shoe.
Yeah.
And then they were like, oh, we need a new one of these. And I'm like, oh, you got it.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Then I didn't have any of the tools forge. Or knowledge.
They don't
or skills.
Want calipers.
They don't want you to reshod your own horse.
No,
they
man,
don't
man.
Want that.
Yeah.
They want
is this
you to go
same,
to fire
the
horse.
Same they as the technology people, is the horse people, or?
I mean, eventually, yeah, Griffin. Okay. That is, it was a technology at some point, you understand.
Justin,
at
when
some
you
point,
say
horses
they,
pulling something blew someone's mind.
Yeah,
is true. The they you're talking about, like, the developers
them!
Of, like, Civ games and the technology tree that they make that you have to, like, research each one
okay,
and spend
okay,
time doing?
Travis, here. You know you, right? And
yeah.
You know your
intimately.
Family and friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you know everybody else that you see walking around, right?
Yeah.
That's us. Okay. And then they.
Anyone you've never seen or met before is your
that
enemy.
That is evil and pulling the
oh,
strings.
Okay.
The, right. They. Capitalism.
Capitalism.
Oh, you know,
capitalism.
Capitalism.
If you can fix
doesn't
it,
want you to fix your own stuff.
Doesn't
want you
to
throw
fix
it in a landfill. Look at this. Do you know how, I'm down to 5 pieces of this garage door opener that I have. I'm closer than ever.
Fuck yeah, man. One of these days, you're going to take apart
One of them. I probably didn't need that one, but you know.
No, that's Kraft.
You're going to take apart a gadget one of these days, and inside, you're going to find the secret you need to destroy the government.
They leave all these parts like buttons, like this case. I don't want any. I want this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just want
little
chip. I want
you
cyber.
You want that fragile, vulnerable chip.
Give me that cyber.
Want.
That garage door opener is way too big. It needs to just be the cyber and a single little input. That's all we need. I don't need a case for my PC. All the parts just sit on the floor.
Yeah.
Look at all this wasted PCB right here. Carve all this off.
Yeah.
I'm going to get in there
and
drill it down.
That's a perfectly good second MOBO right there,
this
partner.
Is great, Justin.
I could get a pie in there. Get
a 24. Sneak a pie in that MOBO.
You've seized the means of opening and closing your garage door, and I respect that immensely.
Don't try to hide a mobo from Justin. He will get it. He will
find
shuck,
that mobo.
He will.
That's my one
whatever.
Get one free. No.
Listen, when the robots come for us, if you need a human who hasn't lost the knowledge of how to get a keyboard, a calendar from a small computer onto a large TV display, I will be right there ready to hack that in. No problem.
Or if your dad just needs help setting it up, ask Justin.
Are you going to rebuild the remote, the garage door opener, or what's the plan here?
You saw it, right? I have absolutely no plan.
So you're like Jason Bourne taking apart his M16 rifle or whatever, and he sets it on the bed, and then his handler's like, good, now rebuild it. And he's like, are you kidding me?
I didn't keep track of how
look
it
at
came
that,
apart.
Dude. I dropped one of the fucking things on the floor. Like, that's gone. I've really broke this good.
Do you have one that's already together that I can look at so I get kind of an idea of where what goes? Or
yeah.
Some, maybe schematics?
Hey, how about we do some advice? That's a lot of tech you got jangling around in there, probably.
I moved it all out of reach or else I'm going to be fiddling with it.
Yeah,
you know, maybe the solution will come to me at some point and I'll just...
I got into lock picking during COVID. Oh, yeah. I bought a little lock pick practice lock, and there were a lot of times where I was working and also picking locks just out of the camera's eyesight.
I'm doing it right now.
Yeah, cool.
You'll never know.
Yeah.
Am I?
Hey, Griffin, where'd you go with that?
I mean, the same place I went with hard candy making and retro game console modifying, which is that I had a second child and stopped fucking all of it. All of it's gone. All of it's done. Okay.
Yeah, this is an advice show. So we're going to take your questions and turn them Malcolm-like into wisdom. This is the first one. The train I take to work every morning passes the local zoo, specifically the giraffe enclosure. All spring, my absolute favorite part of my long commute has been getting a glimpse at these amazing long neck fellas. However, as the foliage has grown, I believe they have added new trees, my view of the giraffes is fully obscured, and I've been robbed of my daily moment of joy. How do I get the zoo to trim its trees, or perhaps to cut out a little window for train passengers to see the animals through, but for a second? That's from Must See Mammals on the Mass.
Your complaint is that they're not giving away their product for free and just bleeding money.
You're sampling it every day, having free giraffe looks. That's all they have.
Literally the only product they have on offer.
It's giraffe looks.
They've got stuffies, corn dogs, and they have look at a giraffe. That's
annoyingly large lollipops that your kids will half finish and leave stuck somewhere.
Yeah.
Giraffe is also like one of the five or six animals at the zoo that's like, you came to see this one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's a whole, we built a whole house full of bugs and snakes or whatever. And you're like, cool. I'll tell you what the problem is.
What?
Giraffes are supposed to be eating the leaves on the trees.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
True. Why aren't they doing it? Maybe you need to.
Don't
and I
want
know
you to look at them.
This is going
to
be hard, but you're going to have to buy a ticket to the zoo. And I know. But then you're going to have to go maybe coach these giraffes on like, maybe, look at those leaves over there. Look how good they look. Because if they were seeing the giraffes can reach it. Giraffes eat the leaves on the top of the trees. That's why they stretch their necks out so hard and so long.
Right.
And so why aren't they eating that? Maybe go and trim leaves lower down.
Let's flip a perspective. You're a giraffe. You go to the zoo meeting and you say, hey, I have to see train every day.
Yes.
And I'm trying to pretend that I live in the jungle.
That's a good
point. Or the savannah or what have you. I would like
where they live.
Wherever they're at.
You know
my general thing,
it's one
right?
of the trees ones, probably.
And I don't think it's just one place, so maybe, I don't know, we can walk, so
I
who knows where you
see I was raised in a zoo. I never got a chance to know these things. Forgive
I'm voiced
me,
by
okay?
David Schwimmer. Call him down.
My accent's a little off from the other giraffes. All right, sorry, I was raised in captivity.
I think you do, there is a... You're going to need to get started on an elaborate heist. But it's like instead of stealing something, you're going to be doing a little bit of pruning. You're going to need to roll up to this place with a little, some big clippers or chainsaw, depending on the thickness of these trees. Actually, if someone spots you climbing mm-hmm. into the giraffe exhibit with a chainsaw, they're going to assume...
There's some assumptions might be made.
They're going to yeah. assume, God didn't want them to be this tall! No, man.
That horse was built wrong! Come on down here, big fella! You think you're so tough?
The good news with Tree Heist, Operation Tree Heist, is if you do get caught, you have an amazing exit strategy of you slide down the giraffe's neck.
Of course.
Like a, so like cool. a Fred Flintstone. That yeah, is, we've out. All thought it. What a wonderful, wonderful angle they provide. I could really zoom down one of those hairy necks.
It must be hard for a giraffe to, I assume, want to be ridden like a horse. They're jealous, but no one can reach it.
Yeah.
It's not like ergonomically designed to mount. You no. know what I mean? And the giraffe would love it if somebody just hopped on and rode it.
Here's my theory of evolution. Giraffes evolved from horses, and they were just the horses that whenever humans would be like, time to ride, they'd be like, oh, I'm really not feeling it. Let me just scoot up.
Tiptoes.
They stretch up. Now you can't get up there.
And it just makes sense.
I'm a delivery driver. Most of my stops are businesses. It's not uncommon for there to be a pizza party happening at said business when I arrive. Sometimes they offer me a slice, which is always appreciated. However, sometimes they don't, which I find quite rude if I'm being honest. Brothers, how do I get in on that hot za at these parties if I'm not offered? Do I ask them? What if they say no? Do I just grab a slice when no one's looking? Please help me. I'm so hungry for pizza. That's from Pizza Party Pirate in Rochester.
Is this pizza for everybody or just the ones who close the account or...
Or employees, or people
or
strangers.
Just Dave over there, where are we at on the pizza availability?
Pizza is one of those loaves and fishes type things where it wouldn't ever occur to you, I think, to eat some beef medallions. You know what I mean? Like, if there were some leftover beef medallions and asparagus tips, you wouldn't think, I'm going to fix me a plate. But there is something about pizza where it does feel communal. Almost as soon as it's prepared.
Sure.
And if frankly, no one ever calculates perfectly the amount of pizza that's needed per person anyways. Always so either it was already going to run out before everybody got their fill, or there was going to be too much left. Right? If there's too much left, you should give the delivery driver some. And if it was going to run out too early anyways,
give it's it to the delivery driver. Statistically insignificant, a single slice of pizza. Slide it on down. I would be bummed if my pizza arrived and there was a piece already eaten. If the request was made, hey, let me get down on this. Absolutely. For sure. It's one slice. Who cares, man?
No problem.
No problem. Also, it's a single slice.
Unless the delivery driver is, like, the second person to the pizza party, right? Like, everybody's there. If anybody's so late that they didn't get a piece of pizza, sometimes we have to be reminded that there are consequences to our decision.
Yes.
And if I come in and I'm, like, 20 minutes late to the pizza party, and I'm like, you guys didn't save me a slice, and I look over and the delivery driver is eating one, and I'm like, what the hell? Yeah. And they're like, Travis, you were 20 minutes late to the pizza party.
That's tough, though, because you don't want to be the person who's like, go on, man, get in there. And then everybody else comes down. It's like, I'm so sorry. I thought you got in there already.
No, I'm not sorry. Don't be late next time. If you are a delivery driver
of
food.
They had a project. They were trying to get done, and the boss was telling them if they didn't get it done, they were out of here.
No excuses.
They need this job.
If you're a delivery driver and you roll up to a function where you're going to be catering and the vibe is off, you are endowed certain rights in that scenario, and some of it is the pizza that you are delivering.
Are we supposing that we are agreed in this that the person asking the question is not delivering the pizza?
Yes,
in question,
correct.
Right.
I assumed that's exactly what we're talking about.
Okay, I thought you two were talking at cross purposes. I wanted to clarify this.
Okay. So let me get this straight, Travis. In your imagination, this delivery driver is stopping by to drop off unrelated lunch items to a place that has already had pizza delivered to.
Well, yes, Griffin. Here's why I think that. Because it's what it goddamn says in the question.
Let's see what the text supports. Go on, Travis.
I'm a delivery driver. Most of my stops are businesses. It's not uncommon for there to be a pizza party happening at said business when I arrive.
But that's let's speak now. Okay
but that's no. we're arguing fucking semantics now.
We're not.
They're having a pizza party And this the party
is arguing semantics. Please go on.
The party is going. The party is popping. One little, the catalyst for setting off this party powder keg hasn't showed up yet. That's you with the za. The pizza party's already happening. Why are you delivering food to a place full of pizza? Reality.
Griffin, you're enormously wrong, and I do want you to keep digging. So, in your, what you're saying is that sometimes it's a pizza party, and sometimes it's just a pizza. In the context of this question,
no. Sometimes it's just the you. If I have people over to have a pizza party, come on over to my place tonight, gang. We're watching
for a pizza party.
Come on over. We're watching Andor. Have a couple slices. It's going to be
they
a fucking...
They didn't eat Andor. They stopped selling. They heard pizza party. They're coming over.
It's going to be okay. A time. We're going to have a time.
Now, and what's then, the other option?
Let me please finish the okay, first please, option. Yes, please. There is no second option. There is merely this hypothetical situation that's going to take your guys' shit apart. We're having a pizza party tonight, gang. Come on over. We're going to watch all of Andor, and we're going to have a couple slices. My six best friends show up. We're at the house, and we're having the time of our lives. But what? The pizza's running a little bit late. What are we having right now? What is the moment that we're in right now? What is this event that we're... What was on the Facebook invite right now? What are we in? The pizza party.
A pizza party. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
The pizza's not there yet, but yes, that doesn't Griffin. Change the central thesis. That doesn't change the central thesis of what the gathering's all about.
But the question says it's not uncommon for there to be a pizza party happening. So a what pizza- you're saying, the question asker doesn't say, I'm delivering pizzas to a pizza party. So that means that there is other uncommon events, or maybe the more common event, of I'm bringing, what, 8 pizzas in and a pizza party's not happening. Dave's just real fucking peckish that day?
The fact Could that you think-
I think what the essential question that Griffin has to answer is this. And this is where I actually don't have an answer.
Could you've you have, oh juice, you've chosen your side in this
Oh no, in your division. No, not to my hypothetical, I don't have an answer. Could you have a pizza party where the pizza does not arrive and it is still a pizza party?
No. If the pizza doesn't arrive, it's a failed pizza party. It's a gathering.
I would argue you're not having a pizza party until the pizza arrives.
Well,
because you cannot both be having a pizza party and then in hindsight not have had a pizza party.
You were classifying it in hindsight as not a pizza party because the pizza never arrived. If the pizza arrives 30 minutes late, you're going to look back at that whole event, at all the memories that you formed during it, and you're going to say, that whole thing was a fucking pizza party. Do you understand what I'm saying?
There's no way that I, as a delivery driver
of pizzas,
am thinking... obviously, I have a bias that the pizza party don't start till I walk in.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. So wouldn't that embolden you to get a sweet slice?
No, but I wouldn't state it in the question that a pizza party is going on when I arrive. Because from my point of view, the pizza party cannot begin until I have arrived. So I wouldn't say... a pizza party happening at said business when I arrive because I'm the pizza delivery driver. Unless I'm not, I'm a different delivery driver.
Please, I know people are
hell of a lot more sense.
People are getting frustrated. This is so important. This is what we're doing here is always important.
Obviously, the most important.
It's science.
But if we don't know the answer to this, I do not know how to guide this person. I simply don't. And I may be in the wrong here. I've been outvoted. I'm happy to concede the position, but I'm saying a little bit of clarity of language. Maybe we get a follow-up email. I would love for this to be resolved peaceably.
And I think a little bit of grace on my part.
I think a little bit of grace on everyone's part.
A little grace.
I mean, don't get me wrong. There's two of you and one of me. So if I'm right, it's going to be double good. It's going to feel double fucking good.
Okay.
But I will still be like pretty chill about it.
And listen, question asked here. Ask for a slice of the pizza, the weird pizza that they ordered for like one person who had a bunch of special requests and no one else is going to eat it and they're going to end up throwing most of it away anyways. They can spare a slice of that one.
Yeah.
I can't. Do you know what my new thing is when I have a large group of people that I'm trying to buy pizza for? This has happened quite a lot recently. And everyone is saying they like all kinds of pizza. You're not helping me. I want to give you the pizza of your dreams. Please, a little guidance.
My joy, when we're on tour and we get pizza and Rachel's there and Rachel is like all veggies And it feels like a mini game that I'm winning where I can just add every veggie on the menu and the pizza place is going to be so impressed that it's like, nobody ever orders these. This is great. And I'm just like, yeah, throw alfalfa sprouts on there. Carrot coins? Yeah, go for it. She loves these things.
Carrot
and it feels
coins.
Like I'm winning a game.
Hey, guys, if I can be so bold, why don't we head on over to the Money Zone?
I respect that.
Yeah, please.
You know, Trav, a great way to get started with your project that you were telling me about would be a website.
Oh, yeah.
I know. I know what you were telling me, that you thought that there was no way you could ever figure it out. And I told you.
Figure out my project?
Yeah.
Well, and which one said, was I telling you about, Justin? Because I have so many project ideas bouncing around all the time.
The candle one. And you were saying
the what? That
the candle one.
Oh, yeah.
And you were saying you could never build a candle website. And I said, maybe, Trav, you should believe in yourself. Well, I meant to be clear. What I meant by that, believe in yourself, was you should use Squarespace.
Now, do you remember specifically which candle project I was telling you about? Because I have so many candle ideas.
I do remember it was Travis McRoy's Eaton candles. And
right. The
multi-purpose candles you can...
They were the fully edible, non-digestible candle that the whole family will love to smell and tolerate.
And they don't taste good.
No.
No. And you had the tagline cooked up, which would look great as a header on a Squarespace website that was like, smell them or eat them. I don't give a shit.
Yeah. Here's the best part. I'm going to put non-toxic on them, but it's spelled like the bread, like non.
Yeah.
Right?
Cool.
And like the words, there will be hyphenated or anything like that.
Yeah.
And then when people are like, yeah, this came out, got really sick. I'm like, it says toxic.
Yeah.
I would I was about to say that Squarespace would prefer you not do immoral things with your website, but you know what? Squarespace is probably not in the business of judging morality. I don't think Squarespace wants to be a referee for all the world's problems, you know? I think they just want to get some world-class designers, have them make some of the best templates in the world, and let you put your photos and the stuff you want to sell and your videos and your text and all that stuff into the templates and give yourself a real professional-looking website.
Edible candles? There's a question mark on it, too, which helps.
Yeah.
Head to squarespace.com/mybrother for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code mybrother to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Hey, Griffin, I've been wondering, did you know that Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with thousands of different plants and over 2 million happy customers?
Yeah, dude.
Oh, cool. Did you know that I'm one of those happy customers?
I didn't.
Oh. I felt like you should keep track of the things happening in my life.
Tabs, yeah.
I got a redbud tree for them, which I planted in my front yard, which is thriving. And I got myself a little Meyer lemon tree that I'm growing in my office. It's a real beaut. The children are thrilled to have lemons in like 2 or 3 years. I don't know how long it takes to make lemons, but I'm going to make lemonade because Fast Growing Trees sold me a lemon tree. And I'm very happy with it. And they have... like plant, you know, different kinds of plants, not just trees, but stuff you can, you know, plant in your yard, plant inside your home, privacy trees.
I came up with this slogan that they won't sell you a lemon unless you ask them to.
That's cool. That's almost as good as smell them or eat them. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Fair.
Thanks very much.
And you can get support from plant experts who are on call to help you with everything you're trying to figure out with the plant. I highly recommend.
They really do it. They really do it.
Yeah,
really,
I highly recommend. I'm not just the spokesman. I'm also a client. And you can be too. This spring, they have the best deals for your yard, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get 15% off their first purchase when using the code MYBROTHER at checkout, all one word. Now, the perfect time to plant. Use MYBROTHER to save today. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply.
Hey, it's John Moe from Depression Mode. Every week on our show, we have honest, humane conversations with artists, entertainers, and experts about what it's like to live with an interesting mind. I just interviewed Gavin Rossdale from the band Bush. You might be wondering, what would a successful, handsome, popular musician know about mental health? Turns out, lots.
All the time, we're forced into... happy situations, sad situations, challenging situations. Happy, sad, challenging. And it just never ends. And why should it? You know, we're just the sum of all these journeys.
Check out Depression Mode with John Moe every Monday at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you been looking for a new podcast all about nerdy pop culture? Well, I have just the thing for you. Secret Histories of Nerd Mysteries.
Secret Histories of Nerd Mysteries is a weekly pop culture history podcast hosted by me, host Austin.
And me, host Brenda. We've already tackled mysteries such as what happened to the puppets from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Is Snoopy Mexican? And why do people hate Barney so much?
From theme parks to cartoons to 80s, 90s, and 2000s nostalgia, we tackle it all.
Check us out every Tuesday on MaximumFun.org and wherever you get podcasts.
I work as a hostess at a historic pirate restaurant in Savannah, Georgia. At the restaurant, we have pirates on duty who explain our history to guests and give tours of the building. Real pirates used to come here in the 1700s. It's actually pretty cool.
And yeah, you don't have to convince us.
Yeah, I'm on board.
These tour guides obviously get to dress like pirates while I, as a host, wear a simple black shirt and black dress pants. My question is, how can I introduce the idea of my boss to my boss of possibly letting me dress like a pirate too? Maybe not every day, but sometimes at least. I love Renaissance fairs and would very much appreciate being able to carry some of that whimsy to the monotony of regular life.
That's from Pirate Envy in Savannah, Georgia.
I think that this is a question of where does the pirate experience begin? Because it sounds like it begins beyond the
at conception
stand. So
the pirate experience begins at conception.
For the pirate, I get the pirate's experience.
Are you telling me pirates are born, not made, Travis?
When two pirates love each other very much,
recessive pirate genes.
Yeah.
The instant that that they climax, that's when the pirates. That is the exact moment that God has endowed that pirate with their soul.
When they yell, "Thar she blows," then you know.
Man. Yeah, when they're great harpoon. I don't want to do this anymore.
I don't blame you.
We're talking about stretching the perimeter of the pirate immersion another, 20, 30 feet. Just put some fucking barrels outside of the door and like a sail and have some shanties playing in the parking lot. And then by the time they roll up, they're already in pirate mode. It's not weird that there's a pirate working at the host stand.
I think that it is weird because I want the romance of piracy. I want the illusion. You know, I don't want to see pirates rolling silverware. I don't want to see pirates helping people to their table or writing down my name. I don't want a pirate to do any of that. I want that to be regular people. I need a pirate to just be a dramatic figure waltzing in, taking orders, you know.
Wait, sorry, coming. The pirate's taking your dinner order, though.
Yes, that's like because I'm on their boat, I think, in the fiction.
That's so wild, man. It's so wild to me that you're saying, I can't have a pirate show me to my table, but I will ask a pirate for the wine list.
It actually, can I say, Griffin is right. This person should say the waiters can't be pirates anymore.
I don't think the waiters are pirates. What is up with you guys at reading comprehension today? There's pirates on duty that give tours, and there was no mention of waiters or servers or nothing.
This is a good point. This is a good point, Travis. When you go to the fucking Epcot Garden Grill, it's not like there's 60 chips and dales. Like, the roast beef is really good.
Excuse me for a living that I assume in this economy, restaurants can't just have idle pirates walk around.
Yeah.
You're going to put them to work.
Wait, right? They're also the bathroom attendants. They're the tour guide and the bathroom attendant.
This restaurant has so much excess headcount. I don't do anything with the fucking... You work at a restaurant? Wow, you should make me dinner sometime. No, you don't understand. I'm a historical pirate cosplayer, role player.
I'm kind of like the guy that dances in the Mighty Mighty Boston's. It's like...
I think this has got to be an everyone dresses like a pirate or no one dresses like a pirate
situation. You could slowly introduce, like, over time, pirate accessories to your look and pirate things and just, like, slowly add them on until you just do dress like a pirate. And it's like, You know, I if you had asked me straight up, I would have said, no, that'd be weird. But now that I've seen you with, like, the bird and the cutlass and the eye patch and the bandana.
I will say this. Cutlass should be last. Yeah. That's the hardest.
Not first. Well, God, no, not first.
But cutlass before flintlock, but then you're done. After
cutlass, flintlock, like, and like parrot is actually pretty late, honestly. Yeah. That is a health code issue.
I think you start with boots that kind of fold over on top and maybe are a little floppy.
If you start with
that, that might be style. Your boss doesn't know.
Yes, I think that's a good, maybe don't do weapons, because if I walked into a restaurant and the host had a gun, no matter how antiquated it may be, I'm still not going to feel like especially comfortable.
Well, I do like that thing in movies and TV shows sometimes where, like, a bartender will have a weapon, like, up over the bar, like a baseball bat or that's whatever, cool, to let me know that if stuff goes down, they've got a baseball bat. You could do something like that. A cutlass on the wall behind your host stand.
Okay, but we're talking decor. So a cutlass just on the host stand at all times, just so people know.
That's better than in some movies when the bartender, like, pulls out a shotgun they had underneath the bar. I always think, like, God, that's stressful.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? That's your day-to-day.
And you keep a lot of other stuff under there. I'm reaching in there to get the cherries for a drink, and my hand brushes the shotgun. I'm going to panic every time.
Yeah.
Like, if someone's like, can I bring my dog in here? It's like, oh, man, please
don't think so. my son Tucker loves those maraschino cherries. Yeah, he can't fucking come back here, man.
No.
But this, you have all the little umbrellas and stuff? No. This is a gun area.
This is a place for cutlasses. Not
no, don't order drinks over here. Sorts. Scoot 4 feet to the right to order your drinks. Why can't I order them here? It's not safe. It's just not safe.
It's just not safe for you. I want a munch
squad.
I want to munch squad. Welcome to Munch Squad. It's a podcast within a podcast profiling the latest and greatest in brand eating. And guys, I have such good news for you.
What?
Burger King is going to release a menu celebrating the new How to Train Your Dragon movie.
Yay!
Fuck yeah. Now, Trav, I know that you're you appreciate this franchise,
Thank you.
I wanted to run through the items with you to see how you, a fan, feel about the menu that is come along here, because Griffin and I don't have the familiarity with the franchise.
Cool. Yeah.
So, calling all dragon trainers. Uh-huh. So I'm guessing,
is that a
title?
Well, it's right there. It's right there in the name of the movie.
So a dragon trainer is just any of the people who train the different dragons there?
Well, eventually, there's a whole storyline.
Yeah, they got names like Funk Nuts and like all kinds of wild shit.
Yeah.
Burger King, in co-promotion with the new live-action How to Train Your Dragon film.
Oh, I'm glad they clarified they weren't just doing it solo. Hey, listen, we haven't reached out to them, but we're huge fans.
Love this shit.
They invite guests to take a trip to the Isle of Burke. It got cut off.
No, that's it.
Isle of what?
Burke.
That's
just the name.
Oh, that's the whole.
That's what I'm saying, man. Everything in this movie is like Gronk.
Four dragon inspired takes on fan favorite
menu. Truck nuts and Gronk over there.
Chug ball. Like everything in this movie has.
Wait, so you have seen the movie, Griffin?
I'm just saying. Just come up with some normal names.
Available starting Tuesday, May 27th. The new lineup was developed to help BK and How to Train Your Dragon fans alike celebrate the release of the new film.
Cool.
Which soars into theaters on Friday, June 13th.
Okay.
As the home of the flame-grilled Whopper, Burger King is no stranger to fire.
Huh.
And reimagining America's most iconic burger. That's why BK is inviting guests to take their taste buds on a bold and flavorful journey with the adventurous new menu offerings, including the... Okay, now, Trav, this is where you're going to have to help me, because I don't... The Dragon Flame Grilled Whopper. You know what? I actually have an image, so let me share it with you guys, because I feel like the... Don't jump ahead of me, please. But
oh, okay.
The Dragon Flame Grilled Whopper. The star of the show features a quarter pound of flame grilled beef.
Okay.
Served on a red and orange marbled bun, colored with natural spices and vegetables.
Oh, okay.
Topped with American cheese, crispy bacon, tomatoes, lettuce, onions, pickles, ketchup, and mayo.
Woo!
What is it, compensating, guys? Come on.
That burger is the first hamburger I've ever seen that was perfectly spherical. That beautiful...
Yuki, looks like it was drawn by God's compass.
It looks like a billiard ball, this beautiful, perfect hamburger.
Now, Justin, if I may, to understand the question you're asking, this burger is...
Does it remind you of any of the characters from the movie, or...
Well, I think that many of them would eat it.
Okay, that's and a pretty low bar.
You could say that about any movie ever. There's ever some, made.
I see.
Except maybe Super Size Me, I guess.
There's some red on the bun, which does make me think of, I guess, fire or blood.
Is there a lot of blood in the franchise? Or?
Well, there are Vikings and stuff. I think it's implied.
Ah, crap. You didn't tell me there's Vikings in it.
Yeah.
Now I'm getting interested.
I assume when they say it's a Dragon Flame Grill Burger that they use Dragon Flame Authentic to make it.
Yeah. I would assume so.
Yeah.
There's also fiery dragon mozzarella fries.
Oh, that's a big part of the movie. Mozzarella fries come up a lot in the movie. Every other minute when they get an injury, like I mentioned, they will often use mozzarella fries as like tourniquets or to plug up a wound.
They're mushy. Yeah. The dragon doesn't have teeth. He needs mushy food. It's like a whole thing in the movie.
In addition to bringing the flame, BK is bringing the heat with fiery dragon mozzarella fries, featuring melty mozzarella cheese, peppers, and fiery Calabrian chili pepper breading for the perfect fiery snack, served in a one-of-a-kind, toothless-inspired carton.
Yeah, it's nice. That's actually what they do with the mozzarella fries, too. They stick them inside the dragon's head for storage, because dragons are very porous, which is a big plot point in the movie. So when they need to store their dragon fries, they put them in the dragon's head for later.
Now, Travis, if you can see on there the special toothless-inspired carton, you can see there, and there's wings on it. And I guess what my question is, does that make you feel something?
Do you like that?
Yeah.
The box looks like the dragon?
Here's what I'll say. I do. It makes me feel something, but mostly that I'm looking at a knockoff picture of Toothless that I might see on like a boardwalk t-shirt and not like
spray paint. Yeah.
It doesn't
look. Your real son.
It doesn't look like Toothless. He looks like he's saying, if you try to eat these fries, I will bite your hand.
Is that maybe what live action Toothless looks like?
I don't believe so.
I don't know. I haven't.
But I haven't seen the movie. He's less rectangular than that in the movie, and he's not as box shaped.
Yeah, he does. He is not shaped like a carton of mozzarella fries. Next up, we got Soaring Strawberry Lemonade, and hey, huge promotion to the person that had to try to sell this one.
Yeah,
soar to new heights and quench your thirst for adventure with the all new Soaring Strawberry Lemonade.
Yeah, no, that's actually straight. That's canon. Because when they're flying on the dragon's backs, there's a couple points where they go through pink clouds. And then they come out and they're like, I'm soaked in strawberry lemonade. Why are there strawberry lemonade clouds up here?
Yeah.
So that's a direct reference.
Justin, I would love for you to have to come up with a How to Train Your Dragon theme tie-in for this pink. It had to be
dragon
pink
fruit.
Lemonade. It's pink lemonade. Yeah. Dragon fruit would have been better. But dragon fruit maybe doesn't taste so good in lemonade.
Oh, like they needed to. Yeah, they don't. It's just.
You think originally it was regular lemonade, and they're like, "This is dragon's piss."
Yeah, man. Can I tell you, if you have a kid of a certain age and you say you want a big cup of dragon piss, they would love it.
Probably, yeah.
Lastly, there's a Vikings chocolate sundae. Finish the adventure with Vikings chocolate sundae.
Now I take huge issue with this.
Okay.
Because canonically,
can I tell you what it is first?
Well, all of the Vikings are lactose intolerant.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
The spicy mozzarella fries put these guys on the toilet for hours. Hours.
Well, that's why it balances out, because the spice, they're like, it's worth it.
Yeah.
A lot of the movie is real time shitting after they eat the mozzarellas. They don't cut away. You hear
the
them.
Dragons mostly train themselves while you're stuck on the John. Because of the Burger King combo.
But unless you're about to tell me about a spicy sundae, Justin, I can't imagine they're putting them through what would be hours of bathroom experience.
Finish the adventure with Vikings chocolate sundae. I don't think I've ever heard that. Finish the adventure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
a delicious sweet
treat. I've heard it when a pirate climaxes. But
It features vanilla soft serve with Hershey's chocolate syrup and black and green cookie crumbles. Quote, at BK, we love to bring partnerships to life that create an awesome experience for families.
And money.
Our new collaboration with How to Train Your Dragon is going to be fun for both kids and kids at heart, says somebody from
What Burton about King. Grown-ups at heart?
Nope. Our team has created delicious
I'm a mature,
menu.
Responsible, adult, married father of two. I'm an adult at heart, and I have to get me some of these spicy cheese fries and this bell burger.
Our team has created a delicious menu.
Have the Dragon Ball burger.
Inspired by the beloved characters and themes of this exciting new movie that brings the experience to Burger King restaurants. What themes would you say are best captured by fiery dragon mozzarella fries?
I guess the theme of heat. There's a lot of heat in the movie. Fire. The theme of fire, I guess. Well, they use the mozzarella sticks. It's a metaphor for love and connection because, like, Toothless takes a bite of the mozzarella stick and it stretches out between him and Hiccup. And there's a 45-minute long monologue about how the string of mozzarella stick connecting them is like the love that connects them.
And then they
kiss. That might be the theme.
And they kiss.
This movie's 8 hours long, by the way.
So there's the How to Train Your Dragon scoop, Trav. You can start getting that May 27th. Enjoy.
I don't know if I can wait that long. I might try to make some of this at home. It seems too dangerous. I'm just going to wait.
Does it come with a special crown? You didn't even mention the special crown.
You know, the special crown is in the press release, so I didn't know how to cover it in our audio podcast. But yes, there is a very good-looking crown that has horns on it. So that's very exciting. Travis, does that make you feel something?
It makes me feel confused because it says How to Train Your Dragon only in theaters. And I know that they're talking about the live action one, but How to Train Your Dragon is also a movie that's available pretty much everywhere else.
You're right. It's not only in theaters, is it? Moreover, I don't want a crown that says How to Train Your Dragon only in DreamWorks, How to Train Your Dragon only in theaters on it. I'm the immersion. I get what you guys are going for here with this incredibly immersive, inspired combo meal. But I don't want to wear a crown that says How to Train Your Dragon only in theaters on it, because that's not what the real Dragon King would wear.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, have the courage of your convictions to know this is a How to Train Your Dragon officially licensed Burger King crown. You don't need to fucking put it on there. Let me live my fantasy, please.
They should include a book of matches instead of a crown. I think that would fit the theme more. It's like fire. Pretend like you're a dragon at home and set fire to things. And I think that would feel really on brand.
Yeah, that's true. I don't want any of this.
I celebrate them for not pitching it as a meal, though. Thank you. Thank
that's
you guys.
True.
It's an adventure.
That's why they use the term adventure.
Because it's not a meal, it's an adventure.
You can't refer.
It's not a meal, it's a way. It's a strawberry lemonade and an ice cream sundae and mozzarella fries and a perfectly round dragon burger and a crown. It's not a meal, it's an adventure. It's a.
You got to have the burger orb, the spicy cheese fries, giant sundae, and the huge pink lemonade and the adventure.
And then you'll unlock the crown.
Yeah,
on your third playthrough,
the real Isle of Burke,
the bathroom.
Hey, folks, thank you so much for enjoying this podcast, assuming that you did enjoy it.
And you're welcome for us making it.
Yeah. Or sorry if you didn't. Just I don't know why we're covering our bases like this, but.
Yeah, you usually don't hedge that much on the entertainment value of our products. Apologies. I don't know what got into me. Hey, we're going to be, are we this week now? As they're listening to this, right?
Yes.
We're going to be doing some shows this week. In Michigan and Minnesota. So if you can get tickets to those still, bit.ly/McElroy tours is where you can get those. If you are coming to those and you got a question you want answered or a fear that you'd like read aloud, email that to mbmbam@maximumfun.org and put your city in the subject line.
And we've got a bunch of other tour dates coming up, including California, Texas, Georgia, Utah, and a bunch of other ones. If you go to bit.ly/McElroy tours, you'll find all the info and ticket links and stuff there. All the Taz shows are going to be Taz Versus, except for Anaheim. That Taz show is going to be Dadlands with game mom Brennan Lee Mulligan. Check those out, bit.ly/McElroy tours.
We got some new merch, including Flaming Not Poisoning Raging Tea of Doom, a spicy caffeine-free tea that we made in collaboration with Good Store Tea. I love it. I've gone through our stash entirely already and will need to procure more of this delicious, delicious tea. There's also a Plato's Rave 1,000-piece puzzle designed by Danielle Myjo Birch, and 10% of all merch proceeds this month will be donated to the Center for Reproductive Rights. All of that is over at MacRoyMerch.com. And hey, thanks to Montaigne for the use of our theme song, My Life is Better With You. Check out some of the new tunes that Montaigne's been putting out, teasing on Soshi. You're gonna groove your groove thing. And
I also want to say thank you. We're recording this before Champions Grove, but thank you to everybody who came out to Champions Grove. We had, I assume, a great time, and I assume it will be great. So thank you all for that. I also want to say, I haven't mentioned it in a while, but I stream on Twitch fairly regularly. If you go to twitch.tv/TheTravisMacRoy, you can find it there.
We also haven't mentioned, hey, come watch MacRoy Family Clubhouse. It's every Tuesday.
Let's take it clean where you don't say come house.
Did I say, I don't think it came out as cum house.
Wait, let's just take it clean for me.
All right, let me try again. Hey, and we haven't mentioned this in a while. Come on down Tuesdays to the MacRoy Family Cum House. And that's at noon on Tuesdays on our YouTube channel, which is the MacRoy Family.
Nailed it. Got it in one.
One of us was right, one of us was wrong, and history will decide which is which. Do we have a fear or whatever?
Yeah, we do. Griffin, why don't you read it?
This year, I'd like to be faster than my fear that I am aging to a point where I'm finally going to be able to relate to the Grown Ups film franchise.
My name's Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been My Brother, My Brother. May kiss your dad square on the lips.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.